Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you this morning. I need Sister Andrea to come to the front row right here. Brother Andrew to go to this row right here. Sister Anna, you're going to go to that front row right there. They're going to help me out. I need all of the Brother Bryce, Brother Whitman. Why are y'all way in the back? My goodness, come up front and sit on the front row. Calling you out this morning, all the young people, all the children, come on up. KK, Trinity. Is everybody doing good this morning? Hallelujah. Y'all can come sit in the center right here, guys. It's okay. Holy Ghost is over here. It's over there too, but you know, come on. Y'all come to the center. Monsos. There you go. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Now, I need some help this morning. Let me see who I can use. There's three Monso boys. So I'm only going to chat, and then you can come on up. You have a seat right over there by that second thing right there. Come on down, second step, on over there by the plant. Oh, Brother Sean, how are you, sir? You're already up. Would you come help me? Would you come help me? You volunteered already? Come on up here. I'm going to have you sit right here. You sit right here, second step. There you go. There you go. Now we need some young ladies. How about, y'all don't all volunteer at one time. They're not. At all. How about KK? You can leave your purse on the front row. Come sit right here. And, we should get an adult, shouldn't we? Brother Terry, why don't you come help me? Why don't you come have a seat right here? You're just a big kid anyway. You know it. I know it. 1, 2, 3, 4. I need one more helper. One more. Oh, I see her. Yeah, we have three guys. We need another little girl. You come help me. You're going to come right over here. You're going to sit on that corner over there. Now, y'all have to behave because now everybody's watching you, okay? Now, I have with me this morning a little something here that I know many of you might not know what this is, but it's an egg. Shh. And I want you to hold this egg. Sit straight. Hold this egg out like this. Y'all see this? You're going to hold this egg out just like this with one hand. Okay? Straight in front of you. Okay? You're going to hold it like this. Hold it out in front of you straight like that. Just one hand. Don't prop it up. Just one hand. Nope. You're propping it up. There you go. Hold it just like that. Now, when you let it drop down a little bit or you move, my three assistants are going to come up and they're going to mark something on your egg, okay? So you're going to hold it up just like this. Yeah. You think you got this? You hold it up just like that. Got it? Draw you a picture. I didn't have time. You hold it up. Don't let these young ones outdo you now. All right. Now, if you'd like to stand for the reading of the word, y'all just hold it. Y'all stay down where y'all are with your egg. All right, let's go to Psalms. Psalms 85, verse 1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath, and thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, for salvation. Cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thou people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thou salvation. I want to make it to heaven. I want to make it to heaven. Lord Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and our hearts to understanding. Guide each word that I speak in love and in your will. In Jesus' name, amen. To my three assistants, if you see them move, you may be seated, everybody. Hey, no propping up. You watch them. Watch that Monso right there. Now, if they move, Sister Anna, Sister Andrea, Brother Andrew, anytime throughout my message, you go mark on their egg, okay? You know, many times in life, we all start out pretty okay for the most part, right? You're nice, clean. You know, I asked them in Sunday school today, I asked Whitman, I said, did you have to be taught how to lie? He said, nope. I said, so what you're saying is you're a liar? He said, yep. I tricked him. You don't have to teach them how to lie. You don't have to teach them how to steal or cheat. You don't have to, you're kind of going down slowly, but you're going down. She needs a mark on hers. He's moving. You can mark him. But you know, you start off life and everything is just grand. You start off life and everything is just fine. You have your egg, you're just going through, everything is all right. But every time something happens or something unexpected goes on, you get a mark. You get, anybody here have some scars? Anybody here have some things in your life that you're not proud of? If I could take off my shirt today and show you right here on my bicep, I have a scar where I was stabbed. I'm not proud of that. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the day or the incident. But it's there to always remind me. It's there to always mark me. Hold them up. Hold them up. So we look at our scripture and, you know, there are things in our life and we want salvation. We want revival. Who wants revival? Anybody want revival? We want an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, not just among our young people and our children, but to us. What is revival? It's a reviving. It's a renewing. It's a refreshing. It's a fresh anointing, right? Amen. A revival is a time of quickening and an impartation of life. As God alone can give life and revival, a revival is a time that God comes in and he visits his people. And he comes into you personally and he renews you and touches you. No wiggling, Brother Sean. You need to mark him up. He's moving all about. Lord have mercy. You're just holding an egg, guys. Come on, you can do it. Don't prop those arms up. Revival is not a generated excitement. Revival is not a program or a phenomenal show or an act or lights and mirrors and smoke. And it's not that. Revival is a renewing of your spirit. Revival is a renewing of the Holy Ghost inside of you. Revival is an outpouring of God's presence in your life and a change that comes to your life from young to old. Everybody, from the youngest to the oldest, has to be revived sometimes. You have to be renewed sometimes. You have to stir up the gift of God that is inside of you sometimes. Pastor can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. The music team can't do it. You've got to do it for yourself. Brother Valentine can't do it. You've got to stir up the gift of God inside of you. For yourself. You've got to revive yourself. You've got to pick yourself up sometimes. You don't just go through life with an egg. And it's clean and white and fresh and new. Things happen. Situations come. Issues happen. Y'all mark them up if they move. They're moving. Mark them up. Don't be bashful. Just start out with a nice, clean, white egg. The cry for revival is always heard in the worst of times. The cry for revival, the cry for help is heard when you're desperate and you're alone and you're scared and you don't know what to do. You start crying out for help. Oh God, oh God. We heard in the hall this morning, Sister Valentine said, Sister Linda, help me. Well, I was around this corner. Sister Petrie was in the office. She stuck her head out. Okay, I heard somebody call for help. When you call for help, when you call for assistance, you need assistance. You're desperate. You're hurting. Something's not right. Sister KK, you need some more marks on yours. You're wiggling that hand. You're going to work out my three assistants this morning. Numbers 16 and 26 describes the rebellion of Korah against Moses. Korah did not respect the anointed call of God on the lives of Moses and Aaron, and they rose up against them, and immediately Moses fell on his face before God. And in the first three verses of our text this morning, we hear the cry of Korah's sons. Their sons, not the fathers, but the sons, for mercy from the Lord. And then in verses 4 through 7, they begin to repent. In order to enact the plan of salvation, you have to repent. You have to be sorry for your sins. You have to be sorry for the things in your life. And if you haven't figured it out yet, let me give you a little hint. The black marks on your life are sin. The little black marks, it's failure of, I didn't hold it up quite good enough. I wasn't able to stand as strong as I should have. Maybe I used some words that, you know, I've got an egg right here. Look at there. Disobeying. Vanity. Conceit. Dishonesty. Language. Lying. Cheating. Lust. Murder. Things in your life begin to add up, and you begin to write on your life the things that happened. And there's scars, and there's issues. No one up here besides my three assistants knew what I was going to do today. But these young people, from the youngest to the oldest, they're going to face things. Some of them kind of old over here. Brother Terry, he's faced some things in life. I promise you. Cheating, murder, disobeying, language, foul language, dishonesty. And it's amazing that as you go through life, things begin to add up and your baggage becomes a little heavier. You might mask it and hide it. Nobody sees it on you because you got on your suit or your nice dress and you're going through life and everything is just peachy and rosy. But inside, there's black marks. There's scars. There's issues. Just hold it out. Yeah. So in verse 4 through 7, they begin to repent, asking God for mercy, asking God for forgiveness. It was their fathers who sinned, but it was the sons who had to pay for those sins. It's no different with us today. Adam sinned, and we must pay by crying for mercy and repenting. If you make it to heaven, you are going to have to repent of your sins, be baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You have to have the plan of salvation in your life. You are not an island unto yourself. You do not have it all figured out for yourself. People around you, your offspring will pay. They will pay. They will pay. Can I tell you this morning, they absorb everything you say, everything you do, everywhere you go, anything you watch, anything you don't watch. You can turn it on and leave it on. And if it's coming into your house, it's a window that is feeding their minds. It's feeding their little spirits. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. No, it's not okay. We've got to guard what we put into our children and our young people. Not only our children, but our minds. We've got to guard against the devil. He's roaming to and fro, seeking whom he can devour. He wants to mark you up. He wants you to be dirty and sin. And he wants you to fail and fall and doubt and fear. He doesn't want you to be full of faith and full of life and full of hope and full of joy and full of salvation. He wants you to be dirty. I talked to a pastor this week and he told me, if you want to be dirty, you get down and roll in the dirt with them. But if you keep your mouth shut and just let God work it out, you don't have to get dirty. Just let it alone. Just give it to God. Can I tell you this morning, if you want to be dirty, don't you get down the dirt and roll with them. You're going to get dirty. But leave them alone. If they're against the pasture, if they're against the things of God, if they're against the house of God, if they're against the word of God, leave them alone. Move on with your life and let God take control of you and your future. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, told Judah and Jerusalem that the fallow ground had to be broken up, that they were not to plant among the thorns. Can I tell you this morning, there's some ground that needs to be stirred up. There's some things that need to be moved around in our own lives, from the youngest to the oldest. We've got to break some new ground to plant some new crops and some new things. There must be a brokenness before God will cause the ground to be fruitful. You have to plant before you can reap a harvest. The conditions of the ground must be conducive sensitive to growth before we will experience true revival and the things of God and the outpouring of God. Hosea, the brokenhearted prophet, tells us in Hosea 10 and 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. To have revival in 2015, we must live righteously. We must extend mercy to everybody. We must maintain a brokenness before God. We must have results. We must pay attention to what we say and what we do and where we go and who we are. We've got to live right. I'm telling you, every one of you in here, you're carrying that little white egg around every day, and things begin to mark on it, and things begin to scar it, and things begin to hurt it, and you get to where you can't even hold it up. You're broken. You're hurting. You're fighting a war in your mind that nobody can see. You're trying to make it just to the next day, just to the next service, just to the next moment, the next event. Can I tell you, you can't hold this up on your own. You've got to have the God of glory come in on your behalf. You've got to be full of the Holy Ghost. You've got to be filled with that power from on high. Hallelujah. You'll receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The all-important question now comes to mind. Just what is revival? Revival is a work of God. Revival, it is new life from God. Revival is a need of the people in this hour. Revival is the promise of God. A church not having revival is a dead church. A church not having a move of the presence of God and not praying and fasting and getting the word of God and having truth taught to them is a dead church. Revival is the life of church. I'm glad that I'm in a revival church. I'm glad I'm in a church where I can come and worship in spirit and truth. I'm glad to know that I attend a church that I can come to, and I know I'm going to get the word of God preached to me. I know I'm going to hear the man of God get up and break bread and feed my soul. Because just like these that are sitting up here with their little egg, I've got mine. You try holding it up like this for a little bit. It begins to hurt. And you wanna, just for a little bit, I'll just put it down. It's not the one who runs the swiftest, nor the one who shines for a day, but he that endureth to the end. No, I wasn't perfect. No, I didn't have it all figured out. But I'm a work in progress. What does it take to have revival? First of all, it takes hunger. You got to be hungry for revival. You got to be hungry for the Holy Ghost. Young people, if you want the Holy Ghost and a move of God in your life, you got to be hungry for it. We can't force feed you. You are getting Bible teaching every Sunday school class. I have seen your Sunday school teachers pray and fast and show up on off days when nobody else is here and prepare. I have seen Gravity staff pray and fast and do things when nobody else is here. I have seen the children's church ministry pray and fast and work and prepare and get ready to present the Word of God to you. But we can't force this down you. You've got to want it. I've seen pastor, I've seen myself hours and hours and hours for one sermon. And you get up and you go home broken. God, did I present it well? God, did I get the point across that you wanted me to say? God, did I touch them? Did they get it? Broken. Hungry. Hungry for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. You've got to be hungry for yourself. There's got to be a hunger. Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Then you must have humility. You've got to be humble. It's not about me. I'm a failure. I'm a sinner. But God of glory forgave me. And I can make it because he is my King. He is my Lord. I can be an overcomer because of him. Not because of me or things I do, but because he dwells inside of me. I've got to be humble. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. After humility, there must be hope. You've got to have hope. I want to go to heaven. I have a hope in my tomorrow. I'm going to make it. I'm going to see the King of Glory. I'm going to bow on my knees and I'm going to scream, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." I have a hope. It's not just in these few short years of life, but I want to make it. I want to have a hope. The Lord asked Ezekiel on the day of the valley of the dry bones, "Can these bones live?" Ezekiel's answer was a safe one. "Oh Lord, God, thou knowest." What a smart answer. Because God does know. He knows. God knows all things. He knows that revival is possible in Southwest Louisiana. Just like he knew the dry bones could live. With God, all things are possible. Hear me this morning. All things are possible. If we are going to see revival, we must hope for it. We must believe it. We must work for it. And we've got to have it. We find hope in the words of Jeremiah, "Break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns." If you have a hope for revival this morning, start breaking ground for it. Start preparing your own heart at home. Start getting in the Word a little bit more. Start listening to the Word a little bit more. Start applying the Word a little bit more in your daily life. Step out in faith and be bold in God. Don't be ashamed to say, "Hey, come to my church. We're having an outpouring of God. Come get your healing. Come get your blessing. Come have your need met." With hope comes fulfilled promises. Finally, to have revival, we must have a heart for revival. Our hearts has got to be on fire. We've got to be fired up and focused and excited about what God is doing. We've been doing a series upstairs on salvation. We're fixing to go into the fruit of the Spirit. I'm excited about what I'm seeing with these children and young people. I'm excited about the questions they're asking and the things they're beginning to wonder and ponder about, because their heart is being turned. They're beginning to focus on things of God. Matthew 24 and 12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Sin abounds in all of the world. Your egg will become dark and black. Look at that. Man, what happened to your egg? It was white. That was his? Oh, look at his. Pointing at your brother. Look at that. You can go have a seat right there. What happened to your egg? Are you going to say that was his? Look at his? Come have a seat right here. Thank you. Your arm hurting? Whew, he's tired. A little cranky holding up an egg for a service about 5 minutes. Whew, how you doing? What happened? You even got black on your hands. All I asked you to do was hold up an egg. What happened? Yeah, I know yours is black. Just hand it here. Lord, have mercy. You'd think you'd done know by now. You ain't too old to be a sinner. You ain't got it all figured out. I pick on him because he's my friend. I know you will. Didn't come to church expecting anybody to see your black egg, did you? No. It's amazing how things start out and everything's fine. You think everything's going well, then you get blindsided. How you doing over here? Thought I forgot about you. Oh, it's black too, huh? Good grief. You didn't say that, did you? No? Oh, hold your egg. Living for God's not always easy. Just because you are a Christian or say you're a Christian doesn't mean you're always going to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're always going to have it all together. Sometimes things happen and we fall. We mess up. Let's look at Romans 6 and verse 23, Sister Giat. You know, it's amazing that there's some things on here I'm not proud of. I know there's some things on there that they ain't proud of. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know what's amazing? That when you come to the house of God, things of God, Brother Charlie, I'll clean this. Don't stroke out on me back there. He said, yeah, you will clean it, boy. God begins to peel back the layers. He begins to take out the pain, the sorrow, the hurt. Oh, there's still scars there to remind you as you get older, you go through things. But you know that he's been in your life. He begins to clean things up. You don't talk like you used to talk. I can tell you right now, T-Mark don't talk like he used to talk. From the day I first met him to today, he's a different man. And look, my nice, black, sinful egg is now white. Because I've been covered by the blood of Jesus. Touch that. What does it feel like? Soft? Feels soft? What does it feel like? Clean? What? Soft? What does it feel like? Soft? What does it feel like? Squishy, yeah? How about pliable? How about teachable? When you give your heart to God, you say, God, here I am. God, you take my dirty, rotten, sinful nature. Baptize me in the Holy Ghost. Baptize me in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for my sins. You become pliable. You become teachable. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. The power and presence of God can change your. I wonder if you'd stand with me all over the building. I wonder if you'd join hands with your neighbor right where you're at. Musicians, y'all can come. I wonder if you'd just begin to ask God right where you are, God, forgive me. God, the black things, the scars of my life. I want a revival in my heart. I want a revival in my life personally. I want the things of God to come in and make me white as snow. God, cover me in your blood. Come on, ask him, Lord, cover me. Wash me. Make me whole. In the name of Jesus. Ask for that anointing to fall on you. In Jesus' name. I wonder if we have some adults and some parents and some grandparents and some friends that are older that would come around some of these young people on this front row. Young people, you stay right where you are. Would you, some of you parents and older ones, come around? And let's just pray for them. Let's pray that God would touch them and cover them. So they don't have to go through some of the things maybe you or I have gone through, and they can learn from our mistakes. Ask that God would cover them with his anointing. Come on, that's beautiful. Lord Jesus, touch them right now. God, touch them right now, from the youngest to the oldest. God, we're asking you, let your anointing. Come on, that's it. Pray for them right now. God, touch Darren, Lord. Let your anointing. Let the power of the Holy Ghost touch their hearts.